This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy. Together, let's drive.
This is Panthers Insider, an in-depth preview of the week.
Kishani scores!
On the Florida Panthers Radio Network. Here's the voice of the Panthers, Doug Plagans.
Panthers Insider is on the air. Kevin Rogers with you in for Doug as the Panthers are headed back to South Florida for Game 7 coming up on Monday night of the Stanley Cup Final from Amerant Bank Arena after the Oilers picked up their third consecutive win in the series, 5-1 on Friday night to even things up at three games apiece. And we'll hear from Doug Plagans and Billy Lindsay coming up in the second segment, a recap of last night's game. And also Doug caught up with Will Manso from Local 10 to get his thoughts on this series as well. You'll hear that in the final segment of the show. But there's a range of emotions here with what has gone on in the Stanley Cup. Number one, you get a Game 7. Now, granted, this is not the way the Panthers wanted the Game 7 after leading three games to none, being in control of the series, getting ready to sweep the Oilers on the road, and then losing three consecutive games. So this is not how they wanted it, but the NHL season will come to an exciting finish on Monday night in front of the home crowd at Amerant Bank Arena as the Panthers will have their fourth and final shot to knock off Edmonton and win the franchise's first ever Stanley Cup. And a lot of the talk right now, if you've seen it, obviously not positive on the Panthers from the way the last few games have unfolded. Edmonton has woken up from the dead after the first three games where the offense really did nothing. Connor McDavid was great in games 4 and 5, and the rest of the supporting cast for the Oilers has really stepped up. That has been the key in this series where the Panthers have not had the supporting cast step up of late. Pretty much past the main players, Evan Rodriguez has been the best supporting player in this series. But then when you look at the likes of Carter Verhaeghe and Sam Reinhart and Sam Bennett, and even to a certain extent Matthew Tkachuk, he had those 2 points in Game 5, that if those guys can step up in Game 7, the Panthers have a great shot at winning. But the Panthers need contributions from those players, from their top players. We've seen Alexander Barkov has done. He scored the lone goal in last night's game. We'll also talk about his goal that was taken off due to the offside in just a few moments. But when it's all said and done, if the Panthers win on Monday night, the three losses to Edmonton will mean nothing because the Panthers will be hoisting the Stanley Cup. Now, if it goes sideways and Edmonton wins, then it's a different conversation. But the Panthers, no matter what happens, if they win Monday night, they will be the champions and have the Stanley Cup for the first time in their franchise history. So that's really all that matters at this point with this team coming up, regardless of what has unfolded through the last three games. Now, in case you missed it on Friday night, the Panthers lost to the Oilers 5-1 in Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. Now, granted, two of the goals came on an empty net late. So there was the 8-1 blowout in Game 4 that was very ugly. Game 5, the Panthers made it close and lost at home. And then Game 6, the Oilers got an early goal from Warren Fogle. The Oilers then got a quick goal in the second period from Adam Henrik, who, if you know his name through the years, he did it with the New Jersey Devils back in 2012 in the first round of the playoffs in a double overtime win to eliminate the Panthers. And 12 years later, he's doing it with the Edmonton Oilers, hurting the Panthers in a big spot. And the Panthers just couldn't really get the offense going. They had two shots on goal in the first period. Zach Hyman even had a goal late in the second to pretty much put it away at 3-0. And then Barkov had the goal early in the third to make it 3-1. But the Panthers just could not climb back into it. And now they head back home. Thankfully, the long trips to Edmonton are done. So the Panthers will head back home now for the decisive Game 7 coming up on Monday night at Amerant Bank Arena. Now let's hear from the head coach of the Panthers, Paul Maurice, on a couple things. First, the team's reaction following the Game 6 loss on Friday.
Well, right now, if you walked in the room, there won't be a lot of happy people, and I'm not worried about what it is tonight. It doesn't have to be right tonight. You suffered a defeat. You feel it. It hurts. You lick your wounds, and then we start building that back tomorrow. But who you are tonight means nothing to who you're going to be 2 days from now.
And just like I mentioned before, that, you know, it may seem like coach speak or positive spin, but Games 4, 5, and 6 will be rendered meaningless if they win Game 7. That's all that matters in the end, that they get to this point now, and they're back at home, that they're not going to play a Game 7 in Edmonton in front of a hostile crowd. They're back. This is why they got home ice. They finished in first place in their division. Edmonton was in second place in the Pacific. Edmonton still a great regular season, but this is why you get the home ice, so now you have the opportunity to play that final game if you need it at home. And the Panthers have not seen a Game 7 in these playoffs. Going back to last year, they had one Game 7, which was in the first round against Boston, coming on the road, down 3-1, and they won that game in overtime. So the Panthers now seeing their first Game 7 in the playoffs at home, which will be very, very fun, and also a very important time for this Panther team to finally get over the hump and win the Stanley Cup. Now, the controversy or the conversation from last night, Alexander Barkov scored the goal right 10 seconds after the Adam Henrik goal early in the second period. So Henrik scores, make it 2-0 Oilers. You're thinking, okay, here we go again. But Barkov then appeared to score to make it 2-1. You thought, okay, now the door is back open. But Edmonton immediately challenged the goal for an offside, and checking the replays, was it an offside? Was it obvious? No. I thought it was a little too close to reverse it, but was the skate barely offside? Perhaps by a millimeter. It was very, very close, no matter what you think of it. Now here is Paul Maurice about the Barkov goal being called back.
Well, you're looking for a jump start at that point. The shots are 11-2 in the first period, so we need something to go. I think they ended up 11-4 in the second period. They scored on two of them. And it would have been a spark for us for sure. His next goal was. I thought we had a little bit of juice there after that. But, it was unfortunate that it was called back.
And there's a lot of ways to look at it. That number one, it didn't tie the game. It would have gotten them back in the game. So there's no guarantee they win the game, if that goal stands, they're down 2-1 at that point, assuming the goal holds up. You still have to tie the game at 2. And there's still a long way to go in the game. And they only got one more goal the rest of the way, which was Barkov's goal early in the third. So, was it the correct call? Honestly, who knows? Because it was that close. And Edmonton challenging that play, if they lose the challenge, it's a 2-minute minor for a delay of game. And the point was brought up to me last night during the broadcast from Jameson Olive of FloridaPanthers.com. I had asked him that, and I said, was that a risky move by Edmonton to challenge it in fear of getting the 2-minute minor if you lose it? And he explained it very well to me. He said, no, it was not a gamble at all, because Edmonton's penalty kill has been like automatic in the playoffs. So Edmonton can risk it that either you take the goal off the board if they get it right, or if they lose the challenge, now Edmonton goes, or the Panthers go in the power play, Edmonton's got to kill the penalty, but Edmonton's killed every penalty, it seems like, for the last few rounds. So it doesn't really matter to them that they're going to take that chance. And even reading, there was an article today I read about that challenge, and they had quoted Chris Knobloch, who is the head coach of the Oilers, and he thought that it was, I mean, paraphrasing, that it was obvious. Paul Maurice said, I don't know if I would have challenged it on the other end if it was flipped, where Chris Knobloch said it was obvious. I didn't think it was obvious. No one thought it was obvious. But they got it right, apparently, because it went their way. So it was a tough break for the Panthers, and at a time where they have been struggling in the series to get something going their way. Did they lose because of that? No, they didn't lose because of that. There wasn't a goal taken off in overtime, and then they lost the Stanley Cup because of it. No, they were down 2-0 at that point. But the point of the matter is, this team still needs to get off to a better start. That's what it is. They get off to a better start in Game 7 at home, then they will be in very good shape to win the Stanley Cup. Now let's hear from Alexander Barkov, and he had the lone goal in the loss on Friday, and here are his thoughts on that Game 6 loss.
Mentally, I would say we were ready, yeah. But there are things in the game where just like some things happen, and they get their chances, they play in our zone, and they generate chances. So obviously, yeah, we know we need to get better.
And it's everyone. And you know what? This has come to a point where there isn't one person on this team that has not played well the last three games. It's pretty much been a team effort where they have not looked good. So there really is, it's unfair to blame any one person. It's unfair to just blame Sergei Bobrovsky. It's unfair to blame anybody else. But the team needs to find a way to put this thing together. What's interesting is last night that Connor McDavid, the best player on the planet, had 4 points in Game 4, had 4 points in Game 5. He had 0 points in Game 6, and the Oilers won by 4 goals. Doesn't mean he wasn't a factor. It just means he didn't register a point. But when you, and I think Doug mentioned this in the broadcast, that there were 10 different Oilers with points in Game 6. Draisaitl had an assist. Hyman had a goal. Nugent Hopkins had an assist. A couple defensemen had assists. Even Stuart Skinner, the goalie, had an assist in the final empty net goal. And Edmonton is getting these role players to step up, where the Panthers, Verhaeghe got an assist last night. It was the first time in a few games that he had gotten a point. But a lot of the other guys you're used to getting points and scoring aren't doing so. And hopefully this can flip now in the final opportunity in Game 7 coming up on Monday night. Now, a couple notes here about Game 7s. And again, what happened 5, 10 years ago means nothing but just for factoids and for nuggets. That the last Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Final was 2019. The Blues beat the Bruins in Boston in Game 7 to win the Stanley Cup. Prior to that, the last Game 7 was the Bruins beating the Canucks in Vancouver in 2011. So the last two Game 7s in the Stanley Cup Final, the road team has won. Excuse me, last three. Penguins beat the Red Wings in 2009 in Detroit. Now, the last time a home team won Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final was 2006. The Carolina Hurricanes. Who did they beat? The Edmonton Oilers. Again, 06 doesn't mean anything for 2024, considering no one was on that team. But just a couple points there that the last three teams to win a Stanley Cup in Game 7 were on the road. So hopefully the Panthers, and also in uncharted territory here with the 3-0 series lead. Nobody had a 3-0 series lead and lost it. So hopefully this will just be, it will be forgotten if they win the Stanley Cup. If that's not the case, then the conversation will definitely flip if the Oilers end up winning the series coming up on Monday night and giving Canada its first Stanley Cup, a Canadian team, its first Stanley Cup in 30 years. So it's big, obviously, for the Edmonton Oilers. They have not won a Stanley Cup since 1988. So it's been a while for them. They had that big run in the mid to late 80s. Excuse me, 1990. I said 1988. 1990 was the last time they won the Stanley Cup, beating the Bruins. But the Oilers had a big run in the late 80s and that one in 1990. And they'd only been to the Stanley Cup final once during this whole stretch, which came in 06, losing to the Carolina Hurricanes, and obviously the Panthers in their third Stanley Cup, losing to Colorado in 96, losing to Vegas last year. So hopefully this is the time they can turn it around and get the Stanley Cup finally in South Florida. Coming up, we have plenty more to get to here on Panthers Insider. We will hear from Doug Plagans and Billy Lindsay recapping Game 6 and looking ahead to Game 7. Also, Doug caught up with Will Manso from Local 10 to get his thoughts on Game 6, and also should be a very, very good and feisty crowd coming up in Game 7 at Amerant Bank Arena on Monday night. So looking forward to that as we continue Panthers Insider right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back here on the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans with you talking all things Florida Panthers hockey as always. We'll send it back to Kevin Rogers in South Florida here in just a few moments, but bringing you to Edmonton now as we get ready to head back to South Florida for Monday night's Game 7. Going to be an 8 o'clock Eastern time start. And we'll start the pregame coverage locally with the extended Panthers preview on 560 WQAM and the Panthers app. We'll go live on the Panthers Radio Network at 7:30, Real Radio 92.1 in the Palm Beaches, 100.3 Thunder Country in the Keys, Real Radio 101.7 up on the Treasure Coast. Lots of different places to tune in. Sirius XM 219, as always, here throughout this Cup Final, which, again, is going to a Game 7 coming up on Monday night. Panthers and the Oilers for all the marbles. And again, Doug Plagans here, joined by my broadcast partner Billy Lindsay here in Edmonton. And just before we head back to South Florida, it's going to be it's going to be one for all the marbles coming up on Monday night. But Billy, going to look a little bit ahead to Monday night, but also look at how we got to this point. If you had to just look at the bullet points of how this Cup Final has shaken out to this point so far, obviously there have been ups and there have been downs for both teams.
Yep.
Each team's had a three-game win streak here in this Cup Final. If you're summarizing it from a Panthers perspective, what are the biggest bullet points you're looking at?
So you won the three games. You know it works and can do against this Edmonton team if you're playing your best. Starts have been critical when you got off to good starts and played well and your top guys have been going. Then you've been okay. When it hasn't and you've gotten behind and you've been force the play chase up just hasn't been good enough. And special teams has favored the Oilers heavily. What they've done with the penalty kill, they've been able to stymie the power play for the Panthers and not getting any momentum off that. But when you get into a game seven, all bets are off. It turns into a Super Bowl. It turns into a gold medal game. Whatever kind of scenario, every player forgets about everything. Then it becomes about, it could be a fortuitous bounce at the right time that changes the momentum. It can swing in all kinds of different directions. But you did win the three games that got you here. If you were down 3-0 and found a way to come back, you're looking at it. So that's where the Panthers just, you have to block everything out. You're playing the biggest game of your life, of what you've always, everyone says you want to win the Stanley Cup, but what you've always done as a kid is what I did is you've played road hockey as a kid. Game 7, Stanley Cup, overtime. It's this, you're on the biggest stage. You could not get on a bigger stage than hockey for Game 7 of a Stanley Cup. If you can't be up for that game and you can't play your best, if you don't win, if you play your best and everyone comes out and you can go up and down your locker room and say to everyone, every player, did you give your heart and soul tonight and give it everything you got? And if everyone can say, answer that question fully, yes, I was prepared for the pressure. I went out, played the game with joy, and did everything I could to win a hockey game. If you win, great. If you lost, if you look down the locker room, then you say, okay, we got beat. That's what has to happen. I firmly believe, though, if you do that and the Panthers do play their best, that you have a great chance to win the hockey game. But it has to be complete.
Billy Lindsay, my broadcast partner on the Panthers Radio Network, kind enough to stop by here on Panthers Insider. As we wrap things up from Edmonton, we'll hand it back to Kevin Rogers here for the rest of the Panthers Insider show in just a little bit. But, Billy, a couple things to expand on with what you just said. Number one, if you're the Panthers up 3-0, may not have envisioned that this thing would end up in a Game 7, but it's a good hockey team on the other side that deserves to be in the Cup Final, and they've earned the way to force a Game 7. Something you touched on there, and we'll talk about both sides and how they're approaching this, but you mentioned, and Paul Maurice has said this too, I remember going back to last year's playoff run, Eric Staal had said this, because he had played in a number of big-time games, Game 7s, throughout his career, that you have to go into this with a smile on your face. Yeah. No matter how you got here, whatever the situation is, you do have to go into it enjoying yourself, because I remember Eric Staal and Paul Maurice both last year saying, because if you're not, you're not going to be able to maximize what you're capable of if you're not going into this with a level of enjoyment.
No, yeah, you have to, and that's the exact approach that you'd have to go into it. And to have anything in life, I firmly believe that there's got to be failure along the way before you succeed. And for the Edmonton Oilers, there was failure in the first three games. They learned from it, got better. Now you've lost three games. What do you learn? How do you prepare? You were in a Stanley Cup final last year. You got better this year. You were more prepared. So you get into it. Yes. Did you fail for three games? You do anything in life, you're going to fail. But if you quit, you will be stuck in failure forever. But if you have the willingness to keep fighting and keep learning and keep battling, you turn failure into success at some point. And that's where you have to go with this Panther group. Yes, okay, we've come out the right. We've struggled. We've had our ups and downs. Now, how do we turn this emotional roller coaster that we've been on and these ups and downs into success? On Monday, you're going to have your home crowd. It's going to be loud. The whole mindset's going to change in a couple of days for everyone on both teams, and it's going to be electric. And I am good. It's glad that it's going to be on home ice. That's how you have to approach it as a player. And anything in life that you want to earn, it doesn't come easy. And it's no different than this. If you want a Stanley Cup trophy, going head-to-head against the best, you're going to have to earn it. And that's what the Panthers have to go out and do Monday. It's going to be a historic for the franchise. And hopefully we come out on the right end of it, just praying that they come up with the goods. It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's put it that way.
Panthers hoping to win their first Stanley Cup. The Oilers trying to hoist Lord Stanley's Cup for the first time since Mark Messier and company did it back in 1990 when they won their fifth in a seven-year span with those highly decorated Oilers groups. Again, Doug Plagans, Billy Lindsay here, setting you up for Game 7. But you talk about some of the mental, philosophical approaches there. But if we're taking things to the ice, there might not be anything in this series that has been more of a tone setter for the Oilers, other than maybe the team that's gotten the first goal. That's been a big tone setter. But for Edmonton, maybe something that going into these playoffs was the most unheralded part of their game. We know about the high-octane offense and the superstars and the power play and all that, but the penalty kill for the Edmonton Oilers has been one of, if not the most important part of their game throughout the entire playoffs, and that's been no different here in this Stanley Cup final. They were perfect again last night in that Game 6. If you're the Panthers, what can you do to try to work around this right now? Because the Edmonton penalty kill has been, again, they've been up to the task, and we've talked about it. There are times the Panthers have been able to enter the zone. It hasn't always been the entry. Sometimes that's the issue with going up against good penalty kill units. The entries have largely been fine, but it's once they're getting there, there's really nowhere to go with it. The pressure has just been off the charts.
You have to be able to, once you get into the zone, and you, Paul Maurice said post-game last night that they're getting trapped down deep in the corners. They're getting pressured into corners where they don't have room to operate. When you get pressure, you have to alleviate that by switching sides quickly. It has to go to the other side, and that's where your puck movement has to be sharp. It can't be any kind of indecision. So you know that the pressure is going to come. Where are my outs? How do I alleviate this pressure? So if you're able to find your outs quickly and get the quick puck movement, you don't have to score once you enter that zone immediately. But if you can work it around and start, and all of a sudden get them back, and they're out there for 30, 45 seconds where they're not accustomed to. They're so good at it that they're going 15, 20 seconds. They're getting five rotations in 2 minutes of different guys onto the power play. So if you're able to alleviate the pressure spots, get the quick puck movement, get set up, now you force them back into a soft box because you start to get some fatigue, which they're not normal. You can't attack. You can't go after it. Then lanes start to open up. That's the first order of business, is getting to there. Once you get to there, now you have to get into your setups, maybe get a little bit more simple shots from the points, rebounds, whatever kind of plays that you're looking for. But it starts with those zone entries, alleviating pressure, and just getting some sustained time. They're so fresh. Mm-hmm. They're so fresh. 20 seconds. That's why they're able to play with that kind of pressure. So you have to have zone time to wear the penalty killers out to give yourself a chance at success.
Bill Lindsay, our guest here on Panthers Insider, and we'll go back to Kevin Rogers in just a few moments as we dissect things from Edmonton. And Billy, one more before we let you get going, and you and I gradually start our travels back here. Game 7. For the folks out there who've never played in one, and you were lucky enough to get Game 7 experience in your National Hockey League career, and it doesn't matter what round it is, a Game 7, it's on a different level. And I'm sure explaining the intensity, there's no way to comprehend it, I'm sure, if you've never been on the ice in that situation. For folks out there, like myself, who've never been on the ice in a Game 7, closest I'm going to get is broadcasting a Game 7. What feels the most different? Because they always say, we've heard, I think it was Wayne Gretzky said, there's the exhibition season to the regular season, and then there's the regular season to the playoffs, and then there's the playoffs to the Cup final. And now, if you want to take it to a fifth tier, a Game 7 of a Stanley Cup final. What does a Game 7 feel like that's different from the rest of the playoffs?
You won't be able to sleep. You can sleep before all these games. You can have your nap 2 to 4. You know that it's not any different. The hockey world's watching. You go to the rink, there's nerves. I went out, and the two Game 7s that I played in was one with Montreal. We were an 8th seed going against Boston. And we won Game 7 in Boston. Theodore was out of his mind. Jose Theodore, was out of his mind and made some saves, and we got some timely goal scoring and ended up beating Boston, probably shouldn't have. Pittsburgh was loaded with talent. Nedved, Lemieux, Jágr, all kinds of guys that went down. No one's expecting us to win Game 7. Everyone says, okay, Edmonton's got all this role coming in. They're going to maybe blow out the Panthers, and it just doesn't happen that way. What you're feeling inside as a player, you're going to the rink, and that's where I said I didn't even remember the first six games, because it became into this singular focus. It's one game takes all. And you go out, and that first, every shift that I played in a game seven, honestly felt like I was in overtime right from the drop of the puck. Then I embraced it. You can remember vividly. You're going to recall everything from a game seven, every single moment. It's the greatest thing that you can go through in sports, especially if you come out on the winning side, and that's where it is from a player's perspective. There will be nerves, and there will be pressure, and just have to embrace every second of it and live it and soak it in and go out and do the best you can. And that's where I talked about every player. If you do the best you can, let the chips fall where they may. And I think this Panther group, if they do that, they got a good chance of winning the game.
Bill Lindsay, our guest here. Billy, great to chat with you about what's coming up. Great to call these games with you, and can't wait to be calling this one with you coming up here on Monday again. I know it's going to be one for the ages coming up here on Monday night at 8:00 at Amerant Bank Arena, and looking forward to calling this one with you coming up here.
Yeah, I've never going into this. This is the most nerves I will ever felt in my body since playing. I'm never going to have an experience like this. So it's not only going to be the players on the ice that's the problem. I have no control up here. We're just going to do the best we can to call a great game. But that's 8:00. It's going to take a while to last that day till that comes. But once that puck drops and we're off, we'll see what happens. Looking forward to it. And all the fan base, everyone out there listening, come. Don't get discouraged. Come and scream your heads off for this Panther team. They've earned it all year. They've earned your support, and let's drag them over the finish line.
That's what's coming up on Monday night at 8:00 Eastern. He's Billy Lindsay. Billy, thanks very much, as always, for stopping by.
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it, and we'll see you Monday.
And we will send it back to Kevin Rogers here after the commercial break in South Florida. Again, Panthers-Oilers, Game 7, 8:00 Eastern on Monday. We'll start our local pregame coverage at 7 on 560 WQAM and the Panthers app. 7:30, we'll hit the network pregame show. Puck drops shortly after 8:00. That's coming up on Monday night. For everything, it's your Game 7 Stanley Cup Final, Panthers-Oilers, Monday night at 8:00 Eastern. We'll send it back to Kevin Rogers on the other side. This is the Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Time for more of the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Panthers Insider continues here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network. Kevin Rogers with you as Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final coming up on Monday night from Amerant Bank Arena. Series all tied up at 3. Panthers won the first 3. Oilers won the last 3. And this is where we're at as the Panthers fall in Game 6, 5-1 on Friday night at Rogers Place. Thankfully, the Panthers don't have to go back there again. But Panthers back in their home ice coming up on Monday night. And we will have the coverage here starting at 7:00 with Panther Preview, the local edition on 560 WQAM, and then the network edition of Panthers Preview at 7:30 on Monday evening. And then we'll have the puck drop around 8:15, 8:20 for the decisive Game 7. I don't know how many more we'll ever see Stanley Cup Final Game 7 at Amerant Bank Arena, but should be very exciting coming up on Monday night. Now let's hear from Local 10's Will Manso as Doug Plagans caught up with him after Game 6, looking back at Game 6 and also looking ahead to Game 7.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. We'll get it back to you here in just a few moments. Doug Plagans here in Edmonton, joined by Will Manso from Local 10, kind enough to stop by here. And you've been covering the Panthers throughout this entire run, you and Clay Ferraro, and you've seen a lot of different places. So we're gonna discuss a little bit of what you've seen throughout this playoff run. But plain and simple, looking ahead now to Monday night's Game 7, you've covered a lot of big events in South Florida.
where does this one rank in terms of biggest sporting events that have happened in South Florida, including a South Florida team, in the time that you've been covering sports down in Florida?
It's got to be at the top of the list with the opportunity to win a Stanley Cup. I mean, you look at previous years and other teams, the Miami Heat organization, they've been in Game 7s. They had a Game 7 in 05 that they lost and, you know, to the Pistons, and I remember those in the Knicks Heat days. But to be on home ice, to be on the stage, the final game for a championship, it's unlike anything we've seen. I mean, the opportunity, and I know people are going to look at it and the way you get there and the frustration of the 3-0 lead gone, but when you really just sit back and think about it, your team, the team you root for, the team in your town, is playing in a Game 7 at home with a chance to win a championship. It doesn't get any bigger than that.
And that's the big thing, is it doesn't matter how you get there. And Bill Lindsay and I talked about it a lot on last night's post-game show and things like that. It doesn't matter how you get there, but you have a one-game shot to win a Stanley Cup. So I want to get to just talking about some of the bullet points of the playoff run here. You've been to different places. You've seen this team go throughout this run. What stood out to you, I guess, going through the ups, the downs, and what do you see as the big strengths for this team going into a Game 7 on Monday night?
I think resiliency, you know, and I think that that's what you kind of hang your hat on, because I think from a hockey perspective, and I'm sure you and Billy talked about it last night, and I'm sure it's been discussed by plenty who cover the sport, tactical, you know, as far as what they've been doing, it hasn't looked good. I mean, the power play hasn't been good. The power play kill for the Oilers has been phenomenal. The speed of the Oilers is clear right now. They, at this point, look like the better team. And that could flip, though, because as we saw in the first 2.5 games, the Panthers looked like the better team. The Panthers looked like the deeper team. Now you're thinking to yourself, it's crazy to think 3 games ago that's what people were thinking. So I think the perspective has to be, this team is resilient. They've been through the ups and downs. They went through a final last year that they lost, but they went through the ups and downs. They've been through some big games this year already in the postseason, opportunities back against the wall kind of things. This is the ultimate test. You know, how do you kind of muster up the energy for one more game to put it together? And I think that, what they've showed in the past, is what you kind of hang your hat on.
And have you been impressed, too? And this has been a calling card for the Panthers under Paul Maurice, it seems like. But have you been impressed with this team's ability to, I know they say a lot in sports, sounds cliche, but keep things even keel? This team has an ability to dig deep and get that bounce back when they need it. They need it in a big way now, but this team, emotionally, mentally, they've seen a lot of things. It seems like there's no situation too big for this group.
If there ever was, it would be this, right? Like, this is the one where you say, holy cow, we have gone from 3-0 to 3-3, and now we have a home game, you know, one final game. That's a tough mental hurdle to clear. I think this team is built in a way, and again, Paul Maurice, to his credit, as a leader, the way he's worked with this team, the things he says, the way he allows players to kind of deal with adversity, which you deal with in a season, in a postseason run, whatever. I think they're strong enough, Doug, but the reality is this. This is unlike any situation we've ever seen. You know, a Game 7 in that, I think back to 97, the Marlins went in their Game 7 at home, and Edgar Renteria, the hit, and Craig Counsell jumping up. That series, there was a back and forth nature of it. You know, you just didn't know what was going to happen in a Game 7. This is where it's almost like, how do you go into a Game 7 where it's almost like us against the world? Everyone thinks that they're going to lose. I mean, from the outside looking in, this series is over to people. Edmonton's figured it out. They got the better team. They're on a roll. They're going to win. Panthers have to overcome that hurdle and find a way.
It's not often you have a 7-game series where both teams get a 3-game win streak, but that's where we are here at this point. You cover everything. So, Will, from your perspective, and you guys do great work on the pregame shows locally that have led into the national broadcasts and everything like that, but just in terms of the buzz that you've sensed, because this is a Stanley Cup final now that, regardless of how things end on Monday, is going to go down as one that's regarded as, you know, a historic one. It's going to be one that people look back on, that people recall a lot of things from, because of the trajectory of the series and also because of the star power in the series. You hear from a lot of people. You cover all the different sports. How much buzz have you noticed pick up, not only for the Panthers, but for hockey viewing in South Florida? Because it seems like this one has probably captivated even the casual average Joe sports fans.
I mean, look, the numbers are huge. And obviously in South Florida, that has to do with the Panthers being in it. But you look national, the ratings are up. I mean, the ratings are, you see the reports every day, and it's getting attention. Connor McDavid, a big part of it. The Panthers, great story, a big part of it. Now the fact we're going to get a Game 7 is a huge part of it as well. But I do kind of the test of, like, okay, the casual person, right, the viewer, things like that. I mean, the emails I've been getting, the text I've been getting from friends, I have people in the game texted me like, you know, game six. What's wrong with the Panthers? I don't understand what's wrong with their power play. I'm thinking to myself, I didn't even know you liked hockey. You know, what are you texting me about it? You know, so that tells you people are investing their emotion, their time, their energy, and their money in supporting this team. And that's those are the steps you have to take as a franchise to continue to build, which the Panthers obviously are trying to do. Winning it would be huge, but already what's happened is people in South Florida care. They're genuinely invested in what the Panthers are doing, and that's a huge step. But man, to finish it and to get that title, first title this town has seen in a pro majors pro sports in over a decade, would be huge.
Will Manso, Local 10, here with us. And Will, I guess before we send it back to Kevin Rogers in South Florida, I guess just everybody is going to be dissecting this from every different angle. I guess if you're laying one key to Monday night, it could be something as simple as get the first goal in a game. What are you looking at as the biggest key for this game seven coming up on Monday night?
I mean, the goal is big, right? We were talking about a pregame. It's like getting that first goal against that team, because they seem to be like an avalanche when they score. It's like they score once and then it's like they're coming at you in waves, and that's hard to overcome. Getting the first goal is huge, but I really think, and I hate to put it on one player because we know it's a team sport, we know defense in front of Bob is going to be huge, but I do wonder, even as a veteran, been in the league a long time, seen it all, mentally where Bob is going to be in that game early. Like, is it going to be that guy? Look, you keep allowing breakaways and two-on-ones, even the best of goalies are going to let goals slip through. But it's those goals that maybe, you know, that just kind of get through when you expect the save to happen. Bob has to be almost perfect in those scenarios. Hope the defense is better. So to me, the key is make things tough on Edmonton. Don't give them the two-on-ones, the breakaways, all those things. I think if that's the case and Bob can kind of garner some momentum, you know, go through a first period without allowing a goal, Panthers get that first goal, I think you see that Bob that we saw early in this series and throughout the playoffs, and then with the crowd, forget it. I think it's the kind of deal where we go back to the formula that's worked. What's the Panthers' formula? Be in the game the third period, up a goal or tied, and we feel we're going to close the deal. And that's what they've got to do Monday night.
He's Will Mansell from Local 10. Will, thanks so much for stopping by. Thanks for all the great work and being along for the ride. It's been a lot of fun having you along and getting to chat sports and hockey with you. So, again, thanks for stopping by, and great to have you along for this entire run. And hopefully the Panthers can close things out with a win on Monday night.
My pleasure. It's been great to have you on as well. And let's see, Monday night, one more to go.
Let's go back to Kevin Rogers for more of the Panthers Insider Show.
All right, Doug, thank you. Good talk there with Will Manso from Local 10, and some interesting points there that Will brought up. And Will's covered the South Florida sports scene for a very long time down here. And even he brought up that World Series back in 97 with the Marlins, how back and forth it was with Cleveland. And this is such a unique situation, even with the Heat, when they had their run with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. You never saw a series that either team was up 3-0 and came back to tie it at 3. They were always win one, lose one, win two, lose one, either any which combination. But this is now such a unique situation, not only for anybody in South Florida, but just nationally, that you've never seen in the NBA a team come from 3-0 down in the finals to win it. You saw in Major League Baseball, the famous one was the Yankees-Red Sox back in 2004, but that was in the American League Championship Series and not in the World Series. So seeing this come up where, again, if the Panthers win on Monday night, the three wins for Edmonton in 4, 5, and 6 mean nothing. It was just a good series, and Edmonton came back and played well, but they have nothing to show for it if they lose. If Edmonton ends up winning Game 7, then yes, it would be historic from their standpoint. Last time a team came from 3-0 down to win the Stanley Cup final was 1942, the Toronto Maple Leafs. So it's been a very long time. It doesn't happen that often. It's seldom. It's rare that this happens. And we saw it a few times in the playoffs in the first round back in the 2010s, a team coming back from 3-0 down to win a series. But again, has it come to Edmonton figuring something out? Edmonton having momentum? Paul Maurice will say there isn't momentum with the Oilers, but I think the view on this series, even if we're still at 3-3, if the Panthers had blown a few leads, lost in overtime, you say, okay, they had some chances, but the narrative is not that way. the narrative is Edmonton has completely dominated the last three games. Yes, at the end of game five, the Panthers played better the second half of game five, but they were down 3-0. So it's hard really to say, well, you played well here, played well there, but you've been losing in these games compared to the first three games where, yes, Edmonton had chances in game one, but Sergei Bobrovsky was outstanding in game one. And that's, again, where people say, well, if Bob gave up a goal here and there, the series would be over and Edmonton would have won. But what we're getting coming up on Monday night is so special simply because we don't know if we'll ever see a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Final with the Panthers, much less at Amerbank Arena, much less here in front of the home crowd, that you have the opportunity to see this and an opportunity for the Panthers to win their first Stanley Cup. So it really is so exciting in spite of the circumstances, how we've gotten here. The Panthers were great in the postseason. They've had a bad week, and hopefully now they can just put that behind them, win Game 7, and have the Stanley Cup in Sunrise. So it's going to be a very fun Monday night. It's going to be nerve-wracking. It's going to be all those adjectives going into this game. But there's one more shot, and it's at home, and it's a Game 7. And not only the hockey world, but the sports world will be paying attention to this to see if the Panthers can win or if Edmonton finishes off the comeback. So really a lot of anticipation coming up on Monday night. Don't forget to tune in to the game Monday night along the Panthers Radio Network. 8:15 puck drop, Game 7 between the Panthers and the Oilers. We appreciate you listening to Panthers Insider right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Time for more of the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Panthers Insider continues here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network. Kevin Rogers with you as Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final coming up on Monday night from Amerant Bank Arena. Series all tied up at 3. Panthers won the first 3. Oilers won the last 3. And this is where we're at as the Panthers fall in Game 6, 5-1 on Friday night at Rogers Place. Thankfully, the Panthers don't have to go back there again. But Panthers back in their home ice coming up on Monday night. And we will have the coverage here starting at 7 o'clock with Panther Preview, the local edition on 560 WQAM, and then the network edition of Panthers Preview at 7:30 on Monday evening. And then we'll have the puck drop around 8:15, 8:20 for the decisive Game 7. I don't know how many more we'll ever see Stanley Cup Final Game 7 at Amerant Bank Arena, but should be very exciting coming up on Monday night. Now let's hear from Local 10's Will Manso as Doug Plagans caught up with him after Game 6, looking back at Game 6 and also looking ahead to Game 7.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. We'll get it back to you here in just a few moments. Doug Plagans here in Edmonton, joined by Will Manso from Local 10, kind enough to stop by here. And you've been covering the Panthers throughout this entire run, you and Clay Ferraro, and you've seen a lot of different places. So we're gonna discuss a little bit of what you've seen throughout this playoff run. But plain and simple, looking ahead now to Monday night's Game 7, you've covered a lot of big events in South Florida. Where does this one rank in terms of biggest sporting events that have happened in South Florida, including a South Florida team, in the time that you've been covering sports down in Florida?
It's got to be at the top of the list with the opportunity to win a Stanley Cup. I mean, you look at previous years and other teams, the Miami Heat organization, they've been in Game 7s. They had a Game 7 in 05 that they lost and, you know, to the Pistons, and I remember those in the Knicks Heat days. But to be on home ice, to be on the stage, the final game for a championship, it's unlike anything we've seen. I mean, the opportunity, and I know people are going to look at it and the way you get there and the frustration of the 3-0 lead gone, but when you really just sit back and think about it, your team, the team you root for, the team in your town is playing in a Game 7 at home with a chance to win a championship. It doesn't get any bigger than that.
And that's the big thing, is it doesn't matter how you get there. And Bill Lindsay and I talked about it a lot on last night's post-game show and things like that. It doesn't matter how you get there, but you have a one-game shot to win a Stanley Cup. So I want to get to Just talking about some of the bullet points of the playoff run here. You've been to different places. You've seen this team go throughout this run. What stood out to you, I guess, going through the ups, the downs, and what do you see as the big strengths for this team going into a Game 7 on Monday night?
I think resiliency, you know, and I think that that's what you kind of hang your hat on, because I think from a hockey perspective, and I'm sure you and Billy talked about it last night, and I'm sure it's been discussed by plenty who cover the sport, tactical, you know, as far as what they've been doing, it hasn't looked good. I mean, the power play hasn't been good. The power play kill for the Oilers has been phenomenal. The speed of the Oilers is clear right now. They, at this point, look like the better team. And that could flip, though, because as we saw in the first 2.5 games, the Panthers looked like the better team. The Panthers looked like the deeper team. Now you're thinking to yourself, it's crazy to think 3 games ago that's what people were thinking. So I think the perspective has to be, this team is resilient. They've been through the ups and downs. They went through a final last year that they lost, but they went through the ups and downs. They've been through some big games this year already in the postseason, opportunities back against the wall kind of things. This is the ultimate test. You know, how do you kind of muster up the energy for one more game to put it together? And I think that, what they've showed in the past, is what you kind of hang your hat on.
And have you been impressed, too? And this has been a calling card for the Panthers under Paul Maurice, it seems like. But have you been impressed with this team's ability to, I know they say a lot in sports, sounds cliche, but keep things even keel? This team has an ability to dig deep and get that bounce back when they need it. They need it in a big way now. But this team, emotionally, mentally, they've seen a lot of things. It seems like there's no situation too big for this group.
If there ever was, it would be this, right? Like, this is the one where you say, holy cow, we have gone from 3-0 to 3-3, and now we have a home game, you know, one final game. That's a tough mental hurdle to clear. I think this team is built in a way, and again, Paul Maurice, to his credit as a leader, the way he's worked with this team, the things he says, the way he allows players to kind of deal with adversity, which you deal with in a season, in a postseason run, whatever. I think they're strong enough, Doug, but the reality is this. This is unlike any situation we've ever seen. You know, a Game 7 in that, I think back to 97, the Marlins went in their Game 7 at home, and Edgar Renteria, the hit, and Craig Counsell jumping up. That series, there was a back and forth nature of it. You know, you just didn't know what was going to happen in a Game 7. This is where it's almost like, how do you go into a Game 7 where it's almost like us against the world? Everyone thinks that they're going to lose. I mean, from the outside looking in, the series is over to people. Edmonton's figured it out. They got the better team. They're on a roll. They're going to win. Panthers have to overcome that hurdle and find a way.
It's not often you have a 7-game series where both teams get a 3-game win streak, but that's where we are here at this point. You cover everything. So, Will, from your perspective, and you guys do great work on the pregame shows locally that have led into the national broadcasts and everything like that. But just in terms of the buzz that you've sensed, because this is a Stanley Cup final now that, regardless of how things end on Monday, is going to go down as one that's regarded as, you know, a historic one. It's going to be one that people look back on, that people recall a lot of things from, because of the trajectory of the series and also because of the star power in the series. You hear from a lot of people. You cover all the different sports. How much buzz have you noticed pick up, not only for the Panthers, but for hockey viewing in South Florida? Because it seems like this one has probably captivated even the casual average Joe sports fans.
I mean, look, the numbers are huge. And obviously in South Florida, that has to do with the Panthers being in it. But you look national. The ratings are up. I mean, the ratings are, you see the reports every day. And it's getting attention. Connor McDavid, a big part of it. The Panthers, great story, a big part of it. Now the fact we're going to get a Game 7 is a huge part of it as well. But I do kind of the test of, like, okay, the casual person, right, the viewer, things like that. I mean, the emails I've been getting, the text I've been getting from friends. I have people in the game texting me, like, you know, Game 6, what's wrong with the Panthers? I don't understand what's wrong with their power play. I'm thinking to myself, I didn't even know you liked hockey. You know, what are you texting me about it? You know, so that tells you people are investing their emotion, their time, their energy, and their money in supporting this team. And those are the steps you have to take as a franchise to continue to build, which the Panthers obviously are trying to do. Winning it would be huge, but already what's happened is people in South Florida care. They're genuinely invested in what the Panthers are doing, and that's a huge step. But man, to finish it and to get that title, first title this town has seen in a major pro sports in over a decade, would be huge.
Will Manso, Local 10, here with us. And Will, I guess before we send it back to Kevin Rogers in South Florida, I guess just everybody is going to be dissecting this from every different angle. I guess if you're laying one key to Monday night, it could be something as simple as get the first goal in a game. What are you looking at as the biggest key for this Game 7 coming up on Monday night?
I mean, the goal is big, right? We were talking about a pregame. It's like getting that first goal against that team, because they seem to be like an avalanche when they score. It's like they score once, and then it's like they're coming at you in waves, and that's hard to overcome. Getting the first goal is huge, but I really think, and I hate to put it on one player because we know it's a team sport. We know defense in front of Bob is going to be huge, but I do wonder, even as a veteran, been in the league a long time, seen it all. Mentally, where Bob is going to be in that game early. Like, is it going to be that guy? Look, you keep allowing breakaways and two-on-ones, even the best of goalies are going to let goals slip through. But it's those goals that maybe, you know, that just kind of get through when you expect the save to happen. Bob has to be almost perfect in those scenarios. Hope the defense is better. So to me, the key is make things tough on Edmonton. Don't give them the two-on-ones, the breakaways, all those things. I think if that's the case and Bob can kind of garner some momentum, you know, go through a first period without allowing a goal, Panthers get that first goal, I think you see that Bob that we saw early in this series and throughout the playoffs, and then with the crowd, forget it. I think it's the kind of deal where we go back to the formula that's worked. What's the Panthers' formula? Be in the game the third period, up a goal or tied, and we feel we're going to close the deal. And that's what they've got to do Monday night.
He's Will Mansell from Local 10. Will, thanks so much for stopping by. Thanks for all the great work and being along for the ride. It's been a lot of fun having you along and getting to chat sports and hockey with you. So, again, thanks for stopping by, and great to have you along for this entire run. And hopefully the Panthers can close things out with a win on Monday night.
It's my pleasure. It's been great to have you on as well. And let's see, Monday night, one more to go.
Let's go back to Kevin Rogers for more of the Panthers Insider Show.
All right, Doug, thank you. Good talk there with Will Mansell from Local 10, and some interesting points there that Will brought up, and Will's covered the South Florida sports scene for a very long time down here, and even he brought up that World Series back in 97 with the Marlins, how back and forth it was with Cleveland, and this is such a unique situation, even with the Heat, when they had their run with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, you never saw a series that either team was up 3-0 and came back to tie it at 3. They were always win one, lose one, win two, lose one, either any which combination. But this is now such a unique situation, not only for anybody in South Florida, but just nationally, that you've never seen in the NBA a team come from 3-0 down in the finals to win it. You saw in Major League Baseball, the famous one was the Yankees-Red Sox back in 2004, but that was in the American League Championship Series and not in the World Series. So seeing this come up where, again, if the Panthers win on Monday night, the three wins for Edmonton in 4, 5, and 6 mean nothing. It was just a good series, and Edmonton came back and played well, but they have nothing to show for it if they lose. If Edmonton ends up winning Game 7, then yes, it would be historic from their standpoint. Last time a team came from 3-0 down to win the Stanley Cup final was 1942, the Toronto Maple Leafs. So it's been a very long time. It doesn't happen that often. It's seldom. It's rare that that this happens. And we saw it a few times in the playoffs in the first round back in the 2010s, a team come back from 3-0 down to win a series. But again, has it come to Edmonton figuring something out? Edmonton having momentum? Paul Maurice will say there isn't momentum with the Oilers. But I think the view on this series, even if we're still at 3-3, if the Panthers had blown a few leads, lost in overtime, you say, okay, they had some chances, but the narrative is not that way. The narrative is Edmonton has completely dominated the last three games. Yes, at the end of Game 5, the Panthers played better the second half of Game 5, but they were down 3-0. So it's hard really to say, well, you played well here, played well there, but you've been losing in these games compared to the first three games where, yes, Edmonton had chances in Game 1, but Sergei Bobrovsky was outstanding in Game 1. And that's, again, where people say, well, if Bob gave up a goal here and there, the series would be over and Edmonton would have won. But what we're getting coming up on Monday night is so special simply because we don't know if we'll ever see a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Final with the Panthers, much less at Amerbank Arena, much less here in front of the home crowd, that you have the opportunity to see this and an opportunity for the Panthers to win their first Stanley Cup. So it really is so exciting in spite of the circumstances, how we've gotten here. The Panthers were great in the postseason. They've had a bad week, and hopefully now they can just put that behind them, win Game 7, and have the Stanley Cup in Sunrise. So it's going to be a very fun Monday night. It's going to be nerve-wracking. It's going to be all those adjectives going into this game. But there's one more shot, and it's at home, and it's a Game 7. And not only the hockey world, but the sports world will be paying attention to this to see if the Panthers can win or if Edmonton finishes off the comeback. So really a lot of anticipation coming up on Monday night. Don't forget to tune in to the game Monday night along the Panthers radio network. 8:15 puck drop, Game 7 between the Panthers and the Oilers. We appreciate you listening to Panthers Insider right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.